Royce Young. Royce, it's a pretty good All-Star weekend for Thunder. You come away with a little hardware in Charlotte from the slam dunk competition.
Yeah, Hami did his job, Mark. I mean, but here's the thing about that dunk contest. Not to poo-poo on Hami and his very solid showing in the dunk contest, but did you guys happen to see this video of him and Zion Williamson in the dunk contest they did in high school? Have you seen this making the rounds a little bit? I don't know.
Yes, I did see it. Yes.
Hami just repeated like three of the dunks. Like no original material there based on but I mean, it wasn't good enough to beat Zion back in high school, but it was good enough to beat Dennis Smith Jr. and all his array of missed dunks. So
they need to ship that dunk trophy to Zion Williamson as soon as, you know, he gets drafted.
Question on who the best dunker on the planet probably is right now. I can't imagine anybody's beating Zion.
There's just no way. The size, the power. The only thing I was talking about this with somebody the other day about Zion and the dunk contest next year, Dusty. And first of all, I think we're all making the assumption he'll be in it, and I think the NBA will probably pressure him quite a lot to be in it. But it's kind of similar to LeBron and how LeBron never did it. And for Zion, he's got more to lose, I think, than more to gain, because there's going to be so much hype and so much anticipation of, like, what will Zion Williamson do in a dunk contest? And even if he does 10 out of 10 dunks that are just absolutely outrageous for any other person in the world, there might be people that go, I expected better from him. So, I don't know. The expectations will be so high for him, I don't even know if it's worth it for him to do it.
Originality is the bane of this dunk competition. I mean, when they first started having dunk competitions, it was one of the greatest things ever because we haven't seen very many of these dunks. And so, like, even you are disappointed that you see some of the same dunks that we saw in high school. I don't know how you can liven it up. I don't know if there's an element that you can add to it that would make it more competitive and more interesting. I mean, the props are okay. I mean, whoever's hot, in the right now, culturally, you bring out of the stands to do something. But anyway. I thought the three-point shooting contest, though, was what the dunk contest wasn't. I mean, I thought it was at a really, really high level.
It's so fun when somebody just gets on a roll, Mark. Like, when Steph hit 10 in a row to finish that, and when they just start dropping, that just gets really fun. And, Joe Harris showed he can shoot, man. And people that watch the NBA know that Joe Harris is a knockdown, stone-cold shooter. But some of those guys showed up. Buddy Hield did a nice job, acquitted himself quite well. We were all hoping for the Curry finals, or at least if not that, try to get Dirk in the finals. But Dirk showed up in the All-Star game and made his three-pointers in that one, which to me that was just about the best moment of the weekend in my mind was Dirk stepping up and knocking down those couple threes. It took a very illegal screen from Russell Westbrook to get him the one at the end of the first quarter, but who cares? It was a great moment.
It was a great moment. I want to go back. Okay, so I'm a huge LeBron fan, but I've always been critical of him. I hate the fact that he's never done the dunk contest. I hate it. And I hate, you're right in what you described. I hate that mentality that, well, the expectations are so high, the only possible outcome is that I fall short of that. What a weak mentality that is. And I really hope that we don't see something similar from Zion. He doesn't have to do it every year. But, man, when you're that type of athlete, you're that type of leaper, go put it on display at the dunk contest, please. And I just want to say kind of I'm glad Steph Curry doesn't adhere to that crap. Steph Curry doesn't have to go out there and prove he's the best three-point shooter in the world. We know he is. He's the best shooter to ever pick up a basketball. But guess what? He doesn't go out there and have a good time. It's okay that he didn't beat Joe Harris. It's all right. Ain't nobody thinking any less of Steph Curry today. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hate that's the mentality for a dunk contest is, oh, all I can do is fall short of the expectation, so I'm not going to do it. I hate that way that LeBron's looked at it, and I hope that Zion doesn't either. Fans need at least one experience for an athlete of that caliber to see it on full display in the dunk contest, in my opinion.
100%, Dusty. Very well said. Because in using Steph as an example is great there. And to me, this is what makes Steph Curry such an admirable superstar and just admirable professional athlete in general is, look, people talk about kind of his cockiness and his arrogance, but he also has an incredible self-awareness and humility about him in terms of, like, he can laugh at himself. He slips and falls on national TV in a big game. and, you know, falls on his rear end, and everybody's laughing at him, and Steph Curry laughs right along with everybody. And he doesn't take himself too seriously, and it's exactly what you said, that Steph Curry just looks at it like, this is fun, this is entertainment, this is a good time, and I have enough confidence in myself that even if I don't win this specific contest, it doesn't make me any less of a great shooter. And but, yeah, that's always been kind of LeBron's mentality of, like, I don't want to do the dunk contest because, you know, no matter what I do, nobody's going to think it's good enough. And, yeah, I agree with you. I hope Zion Williams shows up because that's what we want to see. We want to see what he can do.
All right, injury status update. Do you know anything more? What we've got now, what, 4 or 5 more days before the Thunder back in action this weekend?
Yep. I would expect everybody to be available, Mark. I mean, after the break. The question that I have, and we talked about this a little bit the other day after that Pelicans game, but Steven Adams looked a little banged up and wasn't moving great. And, you know, his last 2 or 3 games have not been as productive. He hasn't been as effective on the offensive glass. They haven't been posting him as much. He just hasn't quite looked himself. So, you know, he'll obviously be available to play unless something changes, but I'm curious to see how he looks, and if the break has done him well to kind of get a little bit healthier, make him feel a little better. You know, he's dealt with like a lower back issue for a number of years, where it basically tightens up on him, and that's why you'll see him go into the tunnel periodically during games, and he's going back there to ride an exercise bike to try to keep his back loose. But I assume that the week off is going to have helped him quite a bit.
When do you think we see Markieff Morris? What is your expectation for how they're going to integrate him into the lineup?
I think he'll be ready to go. The first game back. Now they haven't announced anything officially, so they have to do that, get the physicals and all that stuff. But I assume that should be probably coming in the next couple days. But you know, I assume, Dusty, that he'll be active and ready to go first game out of the break. And, you know, when it Markieff Morris did not choose the Thunder with other opportunities out there. Without kind of the understanding, I'm sure that he is going to be a very integral part of the rotation. And whether that means he just completely replaces Patrick Patterson's minutes is yet to be seen. But look, Patterson has not played well, and he hasn't shot the ball well. And, you know, Morris is not some great shooter by any means. I mean, statistically speaking, Patrick Patterson is a better shooter than Markieff Morris. But the difference is Markieff Morris can do a number of different things that Patterson can't. And Morris is a decent ISO player. You can switch him into mismatches. And, you know, just I think his just general mentality fits the identity of this Thunder team a little bit more. So I suspect that Markieff Morris has come to Oklahoma City expecting, you know, 18 to 22 minutes a game. And not just playing back up to Jeremy Grant, but also playing a number of lineups where he has the potential possibility to be in some closing groups too.
What was the flaw in Patrick Patterson's signing, Royce? I mean, he was injured, but I think they've kind of asked him to play out of position a lot here. And defensively, he can't stand up as the five to me. So I just thought that, to me, he might be a better fit someplace else where he can play more of his role.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly hasn't worked out the way that was expected. And, when that free agent deal happened, Mark, most everybody universally agreed what a great deal for the Thunder, because Patterson was just a terrific role player for the Raptors, great floor spacer as a stretch four. He's always been known as a good pick and roll defender, moves his feet well, really intelligent, moves the ball side to side. So he kind of fit what Billy Donovan wanted to do. And really what it comes down to is just that he hasn't shot well. And some of it, too, is that he doesn't consistently get looks on a night-in and night-out basis. And when you're a guy that, you know, it can be tough. And not to just completely excuse Patrick Patterson, but, you know, when you go out on the floor and you play 14 minutes and you get 3 shots and you go 0 for 3 or 1 for 3, it can be tough on a night-in and night-out basis to, like, you know, if the expectation is I'm going to get 3 or 4 shots and I need to make half of those every single game to prove my worth, that can be tough. But Patterson just hasn't really done it. And I think it's been disappointing. It also, there was a setback last year, Mark, that with his signing, he was expected to be the starter on opening night, and then they went out and made a deal for Carmelo Anthony, and it changed Patterson's role pretty significantly. So it just hasn't completely worked out for him. But look, I think he could still play a role on this team. I'm not saying that he's just going to be, you know, sitting next to the Gatorade jug for the rest of the season. I think he still plays a role at different points because he's a class guy, total pro, and he'll keep himself ready to play.
Nothing wrong with sitting next to the Gatorade jug. Some people just like to stay hydrated, Royce. It's okay.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with staying hydrated.
I could do some Gatorade for $5 million a year. That sounds fine.
No doubt. What about $10 million a year and Andre Roberson? Are we going to see him again this year? Are we going to see him at all this year, Royce? Or can you give us an update post-All-Star break on what we should anticipate from Andre Roberson this year?
I'm growing pretty skeptical that we see him at all, Dusty. And part of that was is that you looked. I personally looked at the All-Star break as a notable date for him in terms of his progression, and to hear that maybe he was getting closer. But Billy Donovan talked about it the other day. It made it basically sound like Roberson's really not even out on the court yet doing anything, and that he's still doing a lot of his workouts in the pool and not putting a ton of weight on it. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's close to playing basketball again, because you know, once he gets kind of cleared to get back out on the court and go through some drills, he's going to need a couple weeks to then get up to speed and then, you know, get his conditioning going. And at that point, it's going to be like mid-March, and you've got the playoffs in basically 2 or 3 weeks. And can you get him ready to go to where you feel confident enough to put him in the lineup? Look, if they could get Andre Roberson back up to speed and healthy and in good shape and have him available to play 8 to 10 minutes in a playoff game, that would be huge, because as a spot defender against a tough matchup, whoever that might be, if you catch DeMar DeRozan, you got Donovan Mitchell, and Terrence Ferguson picks up 3 early fouls, having Andre Roberson there as an insurance policy would be massive for this team. But at a certain point, you do have to kind of wonder, what's it going to take for him to get ready to go to be able to step up and play in a big playoff game when he's had multiple setbacks on that knee?
Did you get the Kyrie Durant vibe kind of from the All-Star weekend?
What do you, you mean that they're buddying up a little bit?
Well, yeah, just so there was just some memes out there. You know, Kyrie was looking at KD, kind of like you know, longing.
Let me just say this. People, I mean, you can take any picture and people make it meme worthy, and people come up with their own narrative. I saw the exact same thing with the LeBron and Anthony Davis looking at each other. And it's like, I mean, it's kind of funny, but I feel like some of these, there's a slippery slope, because some of these turn into their own narrative. And I think that's a little bit dangerous. We take a picture with two guys looking at each other, and then we fill in the rest and write the story. It's funny, but at the same time, I think it's a little bit, I mean, it's a little bit dangerous to a degree.
Good talk. I agree with that.
We are through the looking glass when it comes to free agency speculation. That's what we are. I mean, we take anything. We take a Instagram like. We take you know, just an offhand comment. But look, some of these guys have ulterior motives. I think there's no question about it that LeBron has some motivation in some of the things that he does. You know, when he just so happened to talk about Anthony Davis, he'd be so excited to play for Anthony Davis. I think we can all see that was an intentional comment that LeBron made. That was not just, a reporter asked him, well, how about that? What, isn't that so unusual? There was some motivation there behind it. But for the most part, Dusty, when it comes to, like, six-second clips that we see on Twitter or whatever it is, I don't think that qualifies as a rumor where a guy's leaning one way or the other to team up with somebody else.
I don't know about you, Royce. I still think there's a decent chance he stays in Golden State. I'm not fully convinced he's leaving.
I think that if I was going to, I would probably still lean like 55% leaving, and then with just a couple handful of teams in the clubhouse. But I think that there's a chance that he stays. But here's the thing again.
I got 75% leaving.
75? Yeah, I fluctuate between 50-60% or even a little higher, just depending on the flavor.
What was your percentage that he stayed in Oklahoma City, Mark?
100%.
Okay. 100. Just checking. Sorry, Royce, go ahead.
That didn't turn out. Well, I was going to say that, you know, I think another thing, Dusty, depending on what happens this year, like, I get the sense that Durant's contract this time around, he wants to sign long-term. That's just the sense that I get.
And make some money.
Choosing where he's going to play. And so that's why I think it's likely that he leaves, because I don't think he is going to choose to play out his career or the prime of his career with the Warriors. I just don't think he's interested in doing that. So if they win it again and he signs another one-year deal, I can't imagine Durant wants to go through this again.
Yep, I don't know. I would say we should probably all get out of the business of trying to get inside Kevin Durant's head and figure out what he wants to do. Because I don't even know if he knows what he wants to do half the time, Royce.
Yeah, and that's what I wrote that in the preseason. about, like, you know, it's kind of setting the stage for Kevin Durant's free agency. And it often sounds like, you know, because there was like this, oh, what's he thinking? And it sounds like this kind of self-assurance for the Warriors to say, like, hey, Kevin Durant doesn't even know what he wants to do. But that was the case when he entered his last season in Oklahoma City, and that terrified the Thunder. That terrified everybody in the organization that, hey, Kevin Durant doesn't even know what he wants to do. Because when it comes down to that and Kevin Durant's decision-making, it's just kind of where the wind is blowing him at that time. And so when it comes to July 1st, I think literally today he's thinking about places that he might want to play, but he doesn't know which one. And he's going to wait till July 1st, 4th, 5th, 6th, 10th, or whenever he makes the choice. And it's going to be about how he feels at that time. And if I'm the Golden State Warriors, that scares me to death.
No doubt. Royce Young, ESPN. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday, Royce. Thanks.